Today is November 12th, 2019, and my study tonight is pretty much on God's will or Christ's will or will, the will in general, and placing that in the fruit of the light. That this is my 15th study on fruit of the light in Ephesians 5, 9, and 10. It says, "For the fruit of the light is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth," and in 10, "proving what is acceptable unto God." In proving what is acceptable to the Lord, you utterly follow Christ's direction or His will in your life. Tonight's study is God's or Christ's will. And looking at the whole picture of the character of the new man is to walk according to God's will. What was the will of God toward Israel? Well, you would have to read the whole Old Testament and see as a nation through the generations, God's will worked to present a perfect seed at His chosen time, a sacrifice for the sins of the world. He used people like the Pharaoh and different kings for His plan of the ages. In God's will, I'm working out of New Testament, and so we can look at one place in Acts where God's will worked through David. In Acts 13:36, he says, "For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption." And we can also see in Hebrews, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God," talking to Israel, "ye might receive the promise." The reward for Israel is a promise of a city whose builder and maker is God. What was the will of God during the grafting in process? In Romans 10:19, "But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you." In this verse, God warns His ancient people that because they had, that is, in aftertime, would have moved Him to jealousy with their no gods and provoke Him to anger with their vanities. He in turn would move them to jealousy by receiving into His favor a no people, the Gentiles, and provoke Israel to anger by adopting a nation that supposedly was void of understanding, who had no hope. In Galatians 5:14, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, in this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor." The law is fulfilled in that. Doing the will of God is Ephesians 5:10, "proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." To be acceptable to the Lord is doing His will, doing His precepts, doing His what Scripture research tells us to do through Paul's teaching, through Christ's teaching. What is the will of God for mankind today? John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John 6:38-40 says, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." That will is 2307, is the lemma, which is to wish. And this is the Father's will which has sent me. This is the Father's desire, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. That is God's will, that of all which he hath given Christ, he should lose nothing, but should raise it up again that last day. That is mankind's hope that is in John 3:16. That is for the world, for all those that believe on John 3:16, that believe in Christ. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And we see in 1 John 2:17, "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Well, forever there is in the appendix 151. Eston aeon. Aeonna. Eston aeonna. It's to rendered forever. And an example of forever there in John 6:51, we see, "I am the living bread," talking of Christ, "who came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Believe on him, and mankind, that's all they have to do is believe on him, and they will have a life ever after. The words for will or wish are in the appendix 102 of the Companion Bible. Philo means to wish. Bulo ahi is to a stronger version of wish. It's to do, to will, to make happen. For illustrations of the differences, we look in Matthew 1:19, when Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, and he knew the child wasn't his. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her, that's Theo, not desiring to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. And then in Mark 15:9-15, this is Pilate talking to the crowd. And this is an ugly crowd. Will ye that I release unto the king, that's Thelo, you desire that I release you to the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy. But the chief priest moved the people that he should release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, "What will ye then that I should do unto him?" What is your desire that I do unto him? What evil has he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him. And so Pilate, willing, this is bulomahi, it's only used twice in Scripture. He did that willingly to content the people, releases Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Another example we see a will of our own members. Paul expresses it himself. And in Romans 7, there's six verses, it's used seven times. Verses 14 through 21. The struggle between righteousness and worldly lust, spoken by Paul, telling of the battle of the wills in his members. And even we can see how this can even serve with us. These few verses in Romans 7 seem more like a riddle that you have to ponder very intently to understand what is said. Or at least in my puny brain, I can read it over and over and still get confused. Filial is used seven times in six verses in Romans 7. For after he said in verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. Now that's the law is spiritual in its demands, but I am carnal, fleshly, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would is will, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. In obeying the impulses of my carnal nature, I act the slave of another will than my own as a renewed man. And in 16, if then I do that which I would not, philo, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth within me. The battle between good and bad. I deal with it daily when I'm driving down the road mostly. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. It gets hard. It gets really hard. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. The struggle, back and forth. Now if I do that would not, I would not. It is more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I then find a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. The whole strain of the passage shows that his sole object in expressing himself was to bring more vividly to his readers the conflict of the two opposite principles, and how entirely as a new creature, honoring from his inmost spirit the law of God, he commanded and renounced his corrupt nature with his affections and lusts. In Romans 7:15, in obeying the impulses of my carnal nature, I act the slave of another will than my own as a renewed man. Paul, I feel, is speaking of the times he imprisoned saints, and in the speech expresses that struggle throughout. The finished work of righteousness from Paul's examples on chapter 7, I could say, is in Romans 8:4. that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The members in our flesh is a daily struggle, but by keeping our mind on Christ allows us to better be examples of children of light. All this was definitely during the grafting in process. We know that. We understand that. But we can see this and we can still apply it in our daily lives in a practical sense. In Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That pretty much explains it. If you walk with Christ on your heart on a daily basis, you're not going to have a desire to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Yeah, we struggle. I struggle. The old man kind of works on me a lot of times. And 9.99% of the time, I control myself. And I don't get ugly. Practice what you preach, Tony. You know, that's pretty much what I try. If I give an example, I catch myself all the time. Practice what you preach, Tony. Don't be stupid. Think about it before you actually act on your actions. A lot of times that has saved me more times than not. As you all know, I'm in the process of working out my father's will. And there's been some issues come up where I've been approached and said, well, you're on Facebook, you profess to be a Christian. I expect you to do the Christian thing. And at first that hurt me that I would be approached that way, because to me that's a slap in the face, because I feel like I do walk the way that I express myself. And I was taken aback. And in a way, that's how I come to this study, because in my earthly position that I'm in, I'm doing my father's will. I'm the administrator of the will. So I respond back with, I am doing exactly the Christian thing to do. I'm doing the will of my Father. I'm not saying I'm Christ by any means, shape, form, or fashion, but I am doing what's right by my dad's orders in his will. In Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Repeating, or in other words, and explaining the sentiment. In 5:13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. The flesh is the natural man. We know what the flesh is. Out of which flow the evils in Galatians 5:19-21. We're not even going to go through that. The spirit and the flesh mutually exclude one another. It is promised not that we should have no evil lust, but that we should not fulfill them. If the spirit that is in us can be at ease under sin, it is not a spirit that comes from the Holy Spirit. That's as plain as we can put it. Don't allow the fleshly man use the privilege of grace to walk after the flesh, knowing that you are forgiven, but use the example of Christ's restraint on worldly nature and walk in the light. That's my goal, that's my will, to do the will of the Father. In Ephesians 5:8, "For you were sometime darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And jump and put 10 right next to it. Proving what is acceptable to the Lord. What is the will of God for members of His body? It's in two places. We can see in Ephesians 6 and Colossians 4 what Paul is telling the saints. In Ephesians 6:6-8, "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God, doing the desires, doing what God wishes, wills us to do, from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord, and not unto men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free." And in Colossians 4:12, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in the will of God." He's talking to the Colossians or the saints. Rotherham quotes it as, "Who is from among you a servant of Christ Jesus, saluteth you at all times, contending in your behalf in his prayers, that you may be caused to stand complete and fully assured in everything willed by God." That's the same thing in the Revised Standard Version, the NAS, the NET, and Rotherham. It states fully assured. And in the NIV, it adds matured and fully assured will of God. A fully matured adult in His Word, doing His will. In the complete will of God, the oldest manuscripts read fully assured. It's translated fully persuaded. It refers to what He has already said in Colossians 1:28. Perfect implies the attainment of the full maturity of the Christian. Finishing up with this. Being on the right side of God's will. Let's think for a minute. Can you imagine the heartache of those that were on the wrong side of God's will? Not by their own choosing, but they happened to be the ones that God needed to fulfill His plan. Judas, Peter. Could you imagine denying Christ while he was being beaten? Or turning on Christ for a few pieces of silver? This was God's plan to make His finished work. There had to be those to make His will happen. God hardened Pharaoh's heart to bring His people from bondage. Peter and Judas repented, without a doubt, they did. But you know, I can't even imagine what they felt when they did repent, knowing what they had done. It's my prayer of thanksgiving that has allowed me, a sinner, sold under sin from Adam, but saved by the grace to be purchased possession of Christ, shed blood, that was actually chosen from before the foundation. We can't ask for a better blessing than to be on the right side of God's will. Thank you, guys. I love you.